The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
The scripture reading today is from Luke 2, verse 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Another scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Thanks, Andrew.
Well, Christmas morning has arrived at last. Is anyone excited? So some of you are. All right, good. What's your favourite part of Christmas? Food? Okay, there are those who just enjoy the quantity of food. Some enjoy the foodie experience. Okay, there are those who enjoy what else? Conversations, talks around the table, family time. Yeah, anything else? Presents. There's always those that enjoy presents and the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts. And there's this great joy in being able to see the delight, particularly on a child's face when they get something that's really, really special. You know, there's that old saying, it's better to give than to receive. And there is that delight in seeing someone receive a gift. Now, speaking of presents, today for the children, I've included pictures of gifts in my PowerPoint. And so you can get to count and see how many there are. Okay, so I said kids can do that. Anyway, I'll let you decide what age you are. When we think about gifts, you know, over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the gift of Christmas, and we've seen the gift that God gave to Mary when he chose her to become the mother of his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We saw the gift that God gave to the shepherds, that they were part of a very small, select few that got to see the greatest choir that's ever performed on earth. And not only that, after that, they then got to go and be the first members of the public that would visit the baby Jesus. Last Sunday, we looked at the Magi, the wise men, and the opportunity they had to be able to come and worship, to bow down and worship Jesus. And they knew what they were doing. They knew who Jesus was and the incredible significance of who it was they were worshipping. And they gave him gifts of incredible significance that was defining or outlining the life that he would live. You know, each one of these people was part of that original Christmas story. But Christmas is a gift that just keeps on giving. That's one of the beautiful things about it. You see, the truth was that there was this expectation for hundreds of years before Jesus was born. People were looking forward to the birth of the Messiah. There's the gift that happened when Jesus was born and the impact it had on the lives of those like Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds. But there's also the reality that's a gift for us today. And that's what this passage in Isaiah 9 is all about. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This was written by a prophet called Isaiah. It was about 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. It was a prediction or a prophecy about God sending his son, Jesus, to earth as a baby. And when Isaiah wrote this in about 700 BC, it was a time when there was a rising up of another empire. It was a rising up of what was called the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians, their armies were known for being cruel, for the barbarous way that they would treat those that they had invaded. And they were encroaching into the northern part of Israel. And Israel was fearful. The hearts of many was one of real concern. And so the people of Israel were hoping that this prophecy saying a child would be born, a son would be given, and that there would be peace, they were hoping that that was imminent. They were hoping that was for them, that that would be coming soon. But God's timing is not always the way we would hope or expect. You see, it was in his timing that he chose to send his son, Jesus Christ, to come as the anointed son at the appointed time. But as we read this today, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." See, one of the defining aspects of God is that it says in the Bible, he is the Alpha and the Omega. That means he is the beginning and the end. He is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so these words from Isaiah, written 2,700 years ago, plus or minus a few years, are not just about the past. It wasn't just to the people of that time. They are for us. They are to us today. They are outlining that there is a gift that God is giving to us today. His son given. To us a son is given. Jesus is a gift given to all of humanity who will receive him. So what is it that was so special about this child? Well, what Isaiah is writing here is some very significant descriptions about who Jesus would be. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When it says that he'd be called a Wonderful Counselor, when we hear the word wonderful, you think of what it means to see the wonder on someone's face, or you wonder about something. But if we look in the original language in which the Bible is written and we see the word, the origin of that word, it goes back much, much earlier. We see a time where God was speaking to Moses and he was talking to him about when Moses would go into Egypt and bring the people from slavery into freedom. And God said to Moses, "So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go." See, the word wonderful in this context means that the Son of God would have the ability to perform wonders. We often refer to them as signs and wonders or as miracles. That God, through Jesus, will be restoring people's lives with hope, with dignity. Like the time a widow's son had died, and Jesus saw this and he went and he touched the son and he rose from death back to life. And God gave, or Jesus gave, this son back to his mother. What a gift. Or when the blind could now see, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk. These were gifts that transformed those people's lives. See, Jesus performed wonders that brought change into people's lives. Are you needing a wonder? Are you needing a miracle in your life? And you see, Jesus was a wonderful counselor. In other words, his counsel there means wise counsel. He changed people's lives through what he said. He allowed them to see the insights of what God would have for them. His teachings were wise They were great counsel. In fact, many today still say the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest, the wisest teaching that's ever been recorded. Are you seeking someone with profound wisdom to answer your questions and to guide your life? See, Jesus was the wonderful counselor. And the next description is that he was mighty God. And when we think of mighty, I think of King David. King David was probably Israel's most famous king. And as king, he was incredibly effective in battle. And one of the reasons he was so effective in battle was he was surrounded by what was called his mighty men. He had 30 mighty men. They're recorded in scripture as being incredibly effective in offensive manoeuvres and in defensive tactics. But Jesus didn't battle. Not with military means anyway, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, when Jesus was arrested, his disciple Peter drew his sword and started to parry. And Jesus said, put the sword away. See, Jesus wasn't interested in the military strategy. Rather, it was through his humble death on a cross as the Son of God. That through his death on the cross, he would defeat the powers of evil, of sin, of death. See, Jesus is the mighty God who brings us freedom from sin and death, that we might have life and life with joy. Do you need the mighty God to help you have victory in an area of temptation in your life, in an area where evil is impacting on your life? And Jesus came as the everlasting Father. See, when the Magi arrived in Jerusalem, they were asking around town, where is the one born King of the Jews? And when Herod found out about this, he called them in, and then he calls in the religious leaders, and he says to the religious leaders, where's this one who is to be born King of the Jews? And the religious leaders in turn quote from Micah 5 verse 2, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will come forth for me, to be ruler in Israel. His times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. See, this verse is declaring that Jesus was coming from long ago, from the days of eternity. When John wrote his gospel, he actually started with this concept. In John chapter 1, verse 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is a term here for Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. See, Jesus is the everlasting one. He is the eternal one. He is present from the beginning. He is here today, and he will be here for all of eternity. He's the everlasting Father. He's the one who gives us hope, not just for today or tomorrow or the day after, but for eternity. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When we think of a monarch, a king or a queen, surely this is what they would want for their kingdom, isn't it? They'd want their people to live in peace, in the fullness of peace. And this is what Jesus gives. When Jesus was speaking, it's recorded in John 14:27, when Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. See, Jesus gives peace. Eternal peace with God through his death on the cross. Are you needing peace? Whether there's an inner turmoil or an outer turmoil, are you needing peace in this season? And so when we see who Jesus truly is, for to us, to you, a child is born. To us, to you, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, that for us, the child is born. The Son of God is given for us. He's a gift that God has given to us. He is the eternal, the everlasting one. And this is the gift that is available to us. In Romans 6:23, it talks about this gift that is given to us, and it says, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. See, this gift of life is not just about some nebulous future that's out there called eternity. Eternity is now. You are an eternal being. It starts here now on earth. It starts when we choose to accept the peace of that is available to us, a gift available to us through Jesus Christ. Now, how are you going with your counting? Counting? Long, okay. Who's counting? Yeah, there's some big kids here. That's good. Well, you do not need to count these presents on the next slide because I'm not sure how many there are. But let's think about the Christmas tree. When we think about the Christmas tree and we see the beauty of the wrappings and the ribbons around them and the cards, and I wonder how many of you have actually gone down, maybe when no one's watching, and picked up the present. And anyone guilty? Yeah, there's a few. Yep. Just put it back and tried to arrange it so no one ever knew. You see, a gift under a tree may look lovely. It may look beautiful. But is that how you want it to stay? To stay under the tree? To stay all wrapped up and looking pretty? See, when I think of a gift like that, that's a gift with potential. It might make you wonder, but you're going to keep wondering until two things happen. The first thing is to accept the gift when it's given to you. Because until you receive the gift, it's only something with potential. And the second thing is, when you receive it, you choose to unwrap it, to actually see what it is, to fully receive it. Only when it's received and unwrapped does it shift from a gift with potential to a real gift. It's the same with Jesus. Yet to all who did receive him. See, Jesus is a gift that was given to humanity on that first Christmas day. To receive him is to those who believe in his name. To receive is to believe. In other words, it's to put faith in him. To those who believed in his name, to those who received him as a gift, it says he gave the right to become the children of God. See, by faith, they receive Jesus. They believe in his name. And through that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's available for us. See, when Isaiah wrote this prophecy, for to us a child is given, to us a son is given. He goes on to call Jesus the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is writing that for us today as well. He's showing us that the gift is available to us if we will receive it. When we believe and receive, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And the wonder, the miracle is that we receive peace with God. The relationship with God that had been broken by sin is now restored as our sins are forgiven. The fear and the uncertainty that many people experience in life is replaced with peace and certainty that God knows you and loves you. And the incredible part of that is that it's not what you have done to receive it, other than to accept the gift that has your name on it. Because you see, after this description of Jesus as Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, comes the next verse that finishes. Oh, did you see that? Anyway, the next verse then finishes as it goes on. to say that the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. See, in his zeal, in his passion for you, God has prepared everything. The gift is wrapped with your name on it. Out of his love for you, he will accomplish this. Out of his love for you, all is done. Christmas is the greatest gift that is ever given. And all you need to do is receive it. Now you can stop counting now. Just remember that number if you've been counting. And let's just take a minute as we do each time we gather. And we just take a moment just to stop and say, God, in what we've just heard, what are you saying? Is there something that you're saying to me? Some of you may recall some of what's been said. Maybe just a sense of something, that a thought that comes to mind. But Lord, what are you saying? Lord, as we stop and we reflect and we ask what you're saying, we also ask, Lord, is there something that you want us to do in response to that? Loving Father, you are amazing and the best gift giver ever. Today we will look at gifts under the Christmas trees and wonder what might be under the wrappings. But just now we've seen that the best gift ever has been your Son given to us. And this morning we've just heard that this gift is available for us, but we need to choose to receive it. And if that's for you today, if you're needing a miracle, wise counsel, victory over temptation or evil, hope for today or tomorrow, or the gift of peace with God, and I encourage you to accept the gift that God is offering you today. Tell God that today you choose to accept the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. Tell God that you accept that Jesus died on the cross for you so that your sins can be forgiven. Ask God to forgive you for the wrong things you've done. Tell Jesus that you invite him into your life, that he would be your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. And then thank him that he has done this for you. Lord, today we are so grateful for the gift of your Son. Lord, help us today to truly celebrate this Christmas with love and grace and joy. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. This morning, if you have accepted the gift of Jesus Christ for the first time, then I encourage you to tell someone. If it's someone who already knows Jesus, ask them how you might get to know him more. But I encourage you to tell someone and start that journey of life. Now, the other question that you're wondering is, how many gifts were there? All right, who got more than 10? Who got more than 20? Who got more than 30? No. Less than 30. How many? 29 it was. If you got 29, well done. All right, have a wonderful Christmas day. God bless everyone. Thank you.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.